You got your Bible with you tonight, if you'll turn over to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. That's over in the Old Testament, Scott. Ecclesiastes. Matter of fact, most Bibles, the book of Psalms is right in the middle, and if you go to the right of Psalms, you'll come to Proverbs. If you go to the right of Proverbs, you'll wind up in Ecclesiastes, I promise you. I appreciate Kevin giving me the opportunity to fill in for him tonight as he is out spreading the gospel in other places. I don't intend to preach to you tonight. Of course, you have to be leery when a preacher says he don't intend to preach to you, or if he says I'm going to be brief. Just saying. But what I want to try to do tonight, I've been doing this study for myself, and we'll get into how that came about a little later into the service, but I hope that I've got something tonight that'll help all of us. Amen. In our Christian walk. That is my goal, to have something that'll help us all as we walk through this old world, headed to our real home. And before we get started tonight, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this service thus far. We thank you, Lord, for that song that we just heard about your mercy. You're always willing to forgive. And I thank you for that. And Lord, as we go into this service tonight, we pray, Lord, that we would be able to feel your presence in this place. We pray, Father, that you would blanket this entire congregation with the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we also pray tonight, Lord, that you'd be with our pastor, Brother Kevin. We know, Lord, that he is out doing your work. And we pray, Lord, that as he preaches tonight, there'll be folks in that congregation that will respond to his message. We pray, Lord, that you'd just be there with him and encourage him. Give him the words that he needs. Father, we also pray for this service tonight. We pray, Lord, that you'd be here. We pray, Lord, that you would lead and guide my lips. Show us what it is you'd have us to see out of your holy, blessed word. And I pray, Lord, that we would get something tonight that we could apply to our lives and take it with us when we leave this place. Because we have prayed it in that blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And amen. Ecclesiastes, we're going to start in chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to do a little reading for you tonight. We want to talk about wisdom. It's amazing, when I walked in the door back there tonight, there were some fellas sitting back there on the couch and the chairs back there, and I always think that's the row of wisdom back there. And we were talking about wisdom back there, and I've been studying about wisdom and what it means to us. So tonight, as we get started, we want to start in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1. Bible says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Now, it is very well thought that Solomon is the one that wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and that verse right there would pretty well back that up. Going on into verse 2, it says, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man of all his labor which he takes under the sun? One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also arises and the sun goes down and has to his place where he arose. In other words, the sun just goes around and around, day after day after day. Seems like nothing ever changes. Verse 6, the wind goes towards the south and turns about unto the north. It whirls about continually, and the wind returns again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yea, the sea is not full. You ever thought about that? All the rivers of the whole world runs into the ocean, but the ocean never runs over. Wow. Goes on in verse 7, yet the sea is not full until the place from whence the rivers come, thither they return again. All things are full of labor, man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that has been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything wherefore it may be said, see, this is new. It has been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. Have you caught on to what's going on right there? Solomon set out, and we're going to get into this a little bit more the further as we go. Solomon set out, and it is thought that Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes and towards the end of his life. So he spent his whole life searching this. And what he's doing, he's searching for wisdom. As a matter of fact, if you look right there in chapter 1, verse 17, he says, and I gave my heart to know wisdom. He went about searching his whole entire life for wisdom. Now, as we pick that thought up in chapter 2, I want us to continue reading. He said, I said in my heart, go to now. I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. Now, as we continue on right here in chapter 2, you're going to see that he tried everything. He tried everything the world had to offer. He goes on in verse 2. I said of laughter, it is mad. And of mirth, what does it? I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold of folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. He says in verse 4, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. When he talks about his house right there, he worked on his house for almost 13 years. This man had everything that he could have got his hand. He had all the help he could ask for. He had all the money, all the materials, and yet he worked on a house for 13 years. Woo, could you imagine what a house that is? He says in verse 5, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them and all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that brings forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. He not only had the greatest house that probably there ever was in that day and time, he had the greatest ranch. He had the greatest cattle herd. He had everything you could imagine. Anything that his heart desired, he had it. He goes on to say in verse 8, I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasures of kings and of the princes. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. In other words, if he was here in the 21st century, he'd say, I had all kinds of entertainment. He had anything his heart desired. He had all the singers and the musicians. In other words, he had cable TV. He had Xboxes. He had all the Netflix and the ESPN 1 and 2. He had everything you could imagine. Any kind of entertainment you could imagine, he had it. He says in verse 9, "So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." He went on in verse 17 and he said, "Therefore, I hated life." Think about that just for a second. The richest man on the face of the earth at that time. He had more than Bill Gates or more than the guy that owns Amazon. Those two together are worth about $300 billion, with a B, billion dollars. He had more than those guys. He had more than any single person on the face of the earth ever had. He had anything that his heart desired. He is thought to be the wisest man that ever walked on the face of the earth. He had wisdom. He had wealth. He had anything that he wanted. And yet, in verse 17, he said, "Therefore, I hated life." I hated life. So he continued on through the rest of this entire book of Ecclesiastes. He continued on searching for wisdom, searching for the joys of life, searching for the meaning of life. Does any of that sound familiar to anybody? Do you ever get depressed? Do you ever get down on yourself? Does it seem like you're on one of those little hamster wheels that just day after day I'm doing the same old thing? I'm going to the same places. If I only had what that guy had. If I only had just a little bit more money. If I only had just a little bit more. If I only had that guy's girl. If I only had that guy. If only I had this. If only I had that. We're looking at an example of the richest person that ever been on the face of the earth. The wisest person that ever been on the face of the earth. And he looked at all those things. He looked at his labor. He examined every single thing, and he couldn't find what he was looking for in this world. He couldn't find it. The richest man on the face of the earth, the one that had all wisdom, all money, anything that his heart desired, he said, "I hated life. Hated life." Look over in chapter 7 with me, if you would, as he continued on. This is kind of the theme of this whole book of Ecclesiastes. As you see, as he started out, he hated life. He was looking for the meaning of wisdom, and he actually hated life, and he went through the rest of this whole book searching for wisdom. He says in chapter 7, verse 27, "Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeks, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Lo, this only have I found." This is what he says that he finally found. "That God has made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." As he starts coming to a conclusion about wisdom, he says that he found out in verse 29 that God made everything perfect, but man messed it up. That's what he started to find. God made everything perfect, but man messed it up. This book of Ecclesiastes has 12 chapters in it. Let's look at what he concludes this whole book to say in chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, the last two verses of the book. After he had spent all this time searching for wisdom, searching for the meaning of life, here's what he concluded. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Woo. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Solomon concluded that without God, life is just not worth living. You're just going to be on that hamster wheel all the days of your life. And life is not going to seem like it's worth living. And he found out that it's all about God. Now, what brought me to this study, and I told you that we'd talk about it later. Well, this is later. The reason I started studying this for myself, years and years and years ago when I was ordained as a minister, I was ordained in a Southern Baptist church. And after I was ordained, I started receiving a Christian newsletter every week. It's called the Baptist Reflector. I still get it to this day. Get it once a week. And I read an article, and I want to read it to you tonight. It says, The Problem with Wisdom. In the movie Forrest Gump, the main character sat on a bench and said, Mama always said, life is like a box of chocolates. What's the rest of that? That's right. Y'all all seen that movie. You never know what you're going to get. When we read Ecclesiastes, it appears that Solomon had a similar outlook on life. Solomon continues to pursue the purpose of life. Here Solomon pursues purpose in both the world's wisdom and work. Notice two truths that we learn. First, we learn that only God's wisdom works. Solomon is said to be the wisest man who ever lived. Still, he found that the world's wisdom was not enough to answer the big questions of life or to make sense out of the chaos that can come into our lives. It's the same way today in the 21st century. Wisdom is defined as knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just justice as to action. In Ecclesiastes 7:23, Solomon says that he had tested these things of the world with wisdom. However, when he applied wisdom to all that he saw taking place around him, nothing made sense. Is it any different today? We live in a society that thrives on education. However, many times we feel like a college graduate filled with knowledge and information, holding a diploma but with no job. He is highly qualified but feels completely useless. I'll also add that we live in a day and time where we don't even know which bathroom that we're supposed to be going to. In 1982, futurist Buckminster Fuller estimated how long it took for all accumulated and transmitted knowledge, now this is getting deep, y'all gonna have to listen. How long it took for all accumulated and transmitted knowledge to double from year one. Year one. The year of our Lord and Savior. Year one. How long did it take for knowledge to double? His estimate was about 1,500 years. It took, in his estimation, from year one, it took 1,500 years for knowledge to double. followed by another doubling after 250 years. So for the first time knowledge doubled, it took 1,500 years. The second time knowledge doubled, it only took 250 years. That takes you up to the year 1750. By the 1900, only 150 years. The amount of knowledge had doubled again. Clearly, the process of doubling the knowledge in the world was estimated to be between 1 and 2 years at the beginning of the 21st century. Knowledge was doubling every 1 or 2 years by the 21st century. Worldly knowledge. In 2019, in 2019, the doubling of knowledge is reported to be every 12 hours. Woo! Knowledge doubles every 12 hours. When I read that, I had to think about what it says over in the book of Daniel. You know, a lot of people think the book of Daniel is just about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego getting thrown in the fiery furnace and things like that. But the last half of Daniel is about future prophecy. And over in the book of Daniel, it's in chapter 12. It's in the first part. I think maybe verse 3 or 4, somewhere along there. It said in the last days, knowledge will increase. That's free. Didn't have anything to do with this message. I just threw that out there. Knowledge is doubling every 12 hours. And in the book of Daniel, it says, God said that knowledge will increase in the last days. You need to be where you need to be with the Lord. We live in a world filled with knowledge, facts, and education, but we are, listen to this. We live in a world filled with knowledge, facts, and educations, but we are void of wisdom. God's wisdom. We're void of God's wisdom. No wonder we live in a world that seeks but cannot find purpose. The world only brings frustration into our lives. We read these words in James 1 and 5. Now, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to him. Where do you need wisdom today? Do you need it with your work? Do you need it with your family? Do you need it with your finances? You know, a lot of people think that maybe infidelity or something like that is the main reason for divorces today, but do you realize that financial issues are the main reason for divorces? Financial issues. And it's the same way in the church as it is outside the church. There's also over 2,500 verses in this Bible that deals with finances. God wants to be real in every part of your life. Every part. There was a Crown Financial Ministries class that was available years ago. I taught that class about 3 or 4 different times. And you'll find out that inside the church is no different than outside the church. A lot of folks need financial help. But we need God's wisdom to understand them. The solution to life's questions is to ask God for wisdom and seek his wisdom in his word. Folks, that's where we'll find God's wisdom is in his word, the Bible. Second, we learned that only God's work is wise. Solomon was frustrated. When he tells us he hated life because of his work, he pursued everything the world said would make him happy. He pursued everything that the world said would make him happy, and it didn't. He said that Solomon learned it was all a lie. His work was empty. Lee Atwater, former Republican Party chairman, said this before he died. The 1980s were about acquiring wealth, power, and prestige. but you can acquire all you want and still feel empty. The focus of our work only makes sense, listen to this, the focus of our work only makes sense in relationship to the Lord. Folks, it don't matter where you work or what you do. It's going to get old. It's going to get tiring if you don't remember that you're working for the Lord. Whatever you're doing, you're working for the Lord. I can be a testament of that. Back in a few years ago, I was a project manager for a construction company in Chattanooga, and we built Walmarts all over the United States. At one point in time in my career, I was responsible at one point in time for over $34 million worth of Walmarts. And you know what I found out that a project manager is? A project manager is a person that takes all the blame and never gets any credit. That's a project manager. And folks, if you don't think that there's some stress right there, and if I hadn't remembered that I was a child of God from time to time, I don't think I could have done it. I know Johnny's wife, Carol's been having a very bad bout with shingles. Stress is one of the things that causes shingles. And I remember doing a project over in Lenoir, North Carolina, trying to get it finished on time and trying to get under budget and make sure we get paid. And I wound up with shingles. That was the most painful thing. Stress. Folks, we got to remember who it is we're working for, or it's not going to have any meaning. It's just going to be like we're on the hamster wheel. It's just like it don't have any meaning. I'm kind of semi-retired now. I help my son-in-law still build houses, but I'm kind of semi-retired. And even in retirement, I've talked to a lot of people that feel like that they're into their life, that there's nothing left. Folks, I'm having a blast. I'm enjoying the ride. Because I know it's all about who we serve. If we pull the focus on us, like Solomon did you see how many times he talked about how he did something for him? You know, I got me this, I got me that, I got... Folks, when we pull the focus on ourselves, we take our focus off of the Lord. We need to stay focused on the Lord and seek His wisdom. The Bible plainly tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, another famous 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every word in this book is given by inspiration of God. A lot of people will say, oh, that Bible is just written by man. You're right, but it's inspired by God. Their hands and their thoughts were led by God Himself. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Listen to this. For instruction in righteousness. Folks, we need instruction in righteousness, and it's found in this book. God's wisdom is found in this book. The reason that we need instruction in righteousness is because we are unrighteous people. We are unrighteous creatures. We were born into sin. We are unrighteous. The only righteousness we get is the righteousness through God, through Jesus Christ into God. That's where our righteousness comes from. And He gives us instruction in righteousness in this book. If you want to know about wisdom, search for it in this book. We have to make an effort. God will allow us to stay exactly where we are in our spiritual walk. It takes an effort on our part to grow in the Lord. The Bible says if we'll seek, we'll find. But it takes an effort on our part. If you are tired, just like Solomon was, he hated life. If you feel like you're on a hamster wheel, if you feel like life is not changing, if you feel like that you're just in a rut, if you feel like life has no meaning, my suggestion to you tonight would be to dig into God's Word and search for wisdom. I got a little bit before that. Before you start doing that, get down on your knees and say, Lord, show me your wisdom. Give me your wisdom. And then crack this book open and I'll promise you, he'll start pouring it out to you. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:19-20, For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. The wisest person on the face of the earth without God is foolish. That's what that says. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. When I read that verse right there, there's just a peace comes over me. Is that not just a peaceful read right there? Listen to what that says. But the wisdom that is from above, God's wisdom, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy. Scott, that's what you were saying about a while ago. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Folks, God's wisdom is there for our taking. God wants us to go through this world and have his peace that passes all human understanding. He wants us to have his joy that passes all human understanding. God gave us a commandment as Christians to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, in the 21st century, somehow or another, we have twisted this around, and we seem to think that that only applies to preachers or Sunday school teachers or deacons or councilmen or elders, or that includes everybody but me. There's nothing farther from the truth. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are commanded to go out and spread the gospel. Here's the reason that most of us don't do that, is because we are drugged down with the things of the world. And when we're drugged down with the things of the world and we're like Solomon and we hate life, do you think we're going to go out and tell anybody about Jesus Christ? No, we're not. But when we seek God's wisdom, when we pray and ask God to give us his wisdom, and then we dig into his book and we look for his wisdom, and he starts pouring it out to us, and we take his wisdom, and then we start understanding the true meaning of life. We're just here temporarily. We're on a training ground getting ready to go to our real home. And when we understand that, when we understand what God did for us, when we understand the responsibility that God has given to us, when we understand that our friends and our family are lost and dying in their sins and going to that terrible place called hell, then we start wanting to tell them about Jesus Christ. And God will make you a place and a point to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Just the other day, we're building a house. We're just starting. Well, we got two houses started, but we were laying block on one down in the Soddy Daisy area. And the block masons were there at lunch, and they were eating lunch, and I was standing there with them. And one of them said something about, I don't remember how it got started now, but anyway, I started telling them some verses out of the Bible. He said, wow, you sound like you know the Bible pretty good. I said, better than some, worse than others. He said, wow, I'll have to start watching what I say around you. I said, brother, it don't matter what you say around me. It's what God wants. Hears it all. And then I had an opportunity to start talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, if you will pay attention, God will open a door every single day for you and I to be a witness to somebody. But if we're drugged down, if we're not seeking God's wisdom in our lives, we will not tell anybody. And that's what the devil wants to happen to me and you. The devil wants me and you to get so drugged down at our work, so drugged down with our finances, so drugged down with our family, so drugged down with the confusions of life that we don't even tell anybody about Jesus Christ. That's what the devil is trying to do. And he's doing a really good job. And it's like I said, you can stay right where you are with the Lord if you're happy there. But tonight, as we all sit in this place, if you're not happy with life, if you're trying to figure out the true meaning of life, my suggestion to you would be to seek out the Lord. Seek out that wisdom. Scott, if y'all want to come tonight, if you want to get a song of invitation, I always like to give an invitation time. Because God gives me the messages, but he never lets me know what kind of need, what kind of burden may be going in your life. Folks, this is where it gets serious. You have sat and listened to me now for 30 minutes. This is where it's time for you to get serious with God and really think about what I had to say tonight, what God has given us. Are you happy with life the way you are right now tonight? Are you happy with what's going on? Or does it seem like you're always searching for something? Well, God has got what you're searching for. All you need to do is ask. If you'll stand to your feet tonight,